Thank you. Ezra chapter 6. The text before us will be chapter 6, verses 19 through 22. Ezra chapter 6, beginning at verse 19. Give heed to the very word of God. And the children of the captivity kept the Passover upon the 14th day of the first month. For the priests and the Levites purified together. All of them were pure and killed the Passover for all the children of the captivity and for their brethren, the priests, and for themselves and the children of Israel, which will come again out of captivity, and all such as had separated themselves unto them from the filthiness of the heathen of the land to seek the Lord God of Israel, did eat and kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy. For the Lord had made them joyful and turned the heart of the king of Assyria unto them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God is forever. Amen. Today, as I bring this portion of God's word, consider this sermon as part two to last week's sermon on how to prepare for the Lord's Supper. Children, when you become very hungry and your mother or father calls you to come and eat, do you not feel great joy or even happiness to come and eat? When they serve you your favorite food, or a hot day and they give you your favorite ice cream, are you not happy? After a long day at your studies, for the teenagers and young adults that are in studies, do you not perhaps feel hungry, very hungry? And when your mother or your wife serves you food, do you not get filled with happiness? Men, perhaps after a long day at work, having missed lunch even, you come home anticipating dinner to be served by your wife, and your hunger is about to be satisfied. When she puts that plate of food before you, you become full of joy and happiness that you're about to eat. And wives, do you also not get a sense of satisfaction and joy in having taken care of your loved ones as you serve them food to quench their hunger? You sit and you join them as well. And wives, I know you have one of the hardest jobs, keeping home. And is it not a sense of great joy as you sit together with your family to eat with them? And once you have eaten, do you not feel a sense of energy, a refreshment of the body? Yeah, I know that many of us nap after a good meal, a good hearty meal. We may nap, but then we wake up rejuvenated, strengthened even to perform your household duties. And to give back to your wife in the caring of your own family. And children, do you give thanks to your mom, to your mother when she gives you food? Children, that is a good thing to do. It is a godly thing to perform our duties and to do so with joy and happiness. And this is what we see in our text before us. Great joy in what the Lord has done in building up the church, in partaking of the sacrament, and being strengthened to perform their duties. This morning, with the Lord's help, as I continue the series on the Lord's Supper, we'll consider the text before us and how it applies in the context of the Lord's Supper for today's church. In our text, we read of how God moved the heart of King Darius to allow the people of Israel to return to their land. Moreover, he granted them permission to rebuild the temple at Jerusalem. Do you see a contrast here between two kings? The king of Egypt, Pharaoh, when he was asked, "May we go forth and worship the Lord?" he denied. Moses said, "Let my people go, to worship and to sacrifice to Jehovah God in the wilderness. Pharaoh refused. Then God punished Egypt in a severe manner, crushing them. Israel was freed and entered the land that they had been promised by God to Moses. Centuries later, as a result of the countless national sins and iniquities of Israel and in Judah, Judah itself was found to be held in captivity, having been carried away from their country into exile, just as God had warned them would happen back in the wilderness if they had broken the covenant that God made with them and refused to worship him alone. After an appointed time, the Lord allowed them to return to Judah and to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple and the walls. God moved the hearts of the king to decree that the temple and that Judah be rebuilt. And this time the people of God did so. But the rebuilding did not happen without opposition and without enemies trying to oppose them. The people of God were opposed, and many enemies schemed ways that they could halt, harm, delay, and even destroy what the people of God were building up. Yet the Lord preserved his people, and they completed their tasks. And coming to our text, we see the people of God then keeping the Passover on the appointed time as commanded by God. These were the children of captivity. The residence with Israel in the wilderness cannot be overlooked either. You see, the sacrament instituted through Moses was once again celebrated after decades in exile. They kept it just as God had commanded that it should be kept, including the very time of year. After many decades, even being in exile, they did not modify anything, but kept it just as God had commanded. And we see in Exodus 12, how they were to keep the institution, the sacrament of the Passover, where we read in verse 18, Exodus 12, 18 says, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month, at even. And that's what we see here in Ezra. It says here in verse 19, and the children of the captivity kept the Passover upon the 14th day of the first month, just as God had commanded. The Jews were keeping to God's command. They did not deviate from his commands, even though a great amount of time had elapsed since they last partook of the Passover. They didn't modify or alter the manner the Passover was celebrated. Observe the actions the priests and the Levites took in verse 20. It says they were purified. They were pure. They purified themselves by the sprinkling of the blood of the sacrificed animals, keeping away from that which was unclean, and most importantly, repenting of their own sins as priests and Levites. They kept themselves pure. In all of this, they certainly cleaned out the leaven in their homes as God had commanded centuries before, as we see in Exodus 12. The text further tells us that the priests, as one man or together, have purified themselves. And this is an indication of a great spiritual revival among the ministers of God. You see, for many centuries, the priests and the Levites, along with many, a majority of the kings of Judah, were the ones that were leading the people of Israel into blasphemous idolatry and the mixing of the worship of Jehovah with false gods in the temple, bringing in practices of the heathen to mix them with the worship of God. Many of them even defending such practices by saying, well, these are good intentions. Yet here, the priests and the Levites were purified. this purification together, and as a whole points to their unity of heart towards God. It also brings a great beauty to the administration of the sacrament of Passover. You see, when pastors and elders come together to administer the Lord's Supper in unity and having searched their own hearts, an exalted beauty surrounds the actual supper. We come to verse 21. And the children of Israel, which will come again out of captivity, and all such as had separated themselves unto them from the filthiness of the heathen of the land, to seek the Lord God of Israel, did eat. Here we have Jews and Gentile converts who now believe in Jehovah God coming to worship him and to partake of the Passover. You see, here we have the Jews who are those that had come out of captivity. The Gentile converts are those that have separated themselves from filthiness of the heathen of the land. For what purpose? To seek the Lord God of Israel. The verse states that they did eat, both Jew and Gentile. Brothers and sisters, do you see the gospel in this verse? Brethren, do not let this verse escape your notice. The gospel is presented right here in action. You have Jews and Gentiles coming together to eat of the Passover. They clean themselves. They cleanse themselves just as the priests and the Levites of all the pagan influences and wicked perversions that were very much acceptable by the society around them. And they separated themselves unto the Lord. They did in accordance to the law of God and sought God's word to be holy in their conduct in anticipation of coming to the Passover. And we see this, do we not? Back in Exodus, how can a Gentile come and partake of the Passover? Exodus chapter 12, verse 48 and 49 tells us where it says, and when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. What do we see here? Circumcision is the initiatory sacrament to enter into the covenant and to be part of the covenant community of God, and they were regulated under one law. It wasn't one law for the Jew and one for the Gentile. Once the Gentile circumcised himself because he believed in the God of Israel, he was counted as one born in the land. It also says circumcision is how you enter into the covenant and to be part of the covenant community of God. It signifies that you have been converted. And if an adult in these cases here who wanted to eat at the Passover had to be circumcised so they can come and worship the one true God, they were also to obey the rest of God's law, not for salvation, but because they had been saved by their faith in God. Here in verse 21, we have those Gentiles that have been circumcised and now were allowed to partake of the Passover. Coming to verse 22. And they kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy. For the Lord had made them joyful and turned the heart of the king of Assyria unto them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. Notice the demeanor of the people. both of the Jews and the Gentiles, while they celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread and of the Passover. Our text states that they did so with joy. Why? Because the Lord had made them joyful. They did not celebrate with mourning as if they were at a funeral. They did not celebrate as ones without hope, nor did they celebrate alone in their homes, alone or separated from the congregation. They did not celebrate wondering and doubting if God would accept them. No. They celebrated with joy. The Lord filled them with joy. The Lord wrought a great work among them and revived them in both spirit and body. The people have been obedient to the Lord's ordinances, and they were blessed as a result of being filled with the joy of the Lord. And they have pleasure in the feast of the Lord. They rejoice in their hearts for the gospel that is imaged there in the act of the Passover. A lamb being slain for them. The lamb's blood being sprinkled over them so that the wrath of God passes over their sins because of the lamb's blood. Of course, both Jew and Gentile would rejoice greatly at this good news that the death of another covers over their sins so that the wrath of God does not fall upon them. And the blessings of the Lord did not stop there for them. You see, the Lord turned the heart of the king of Assyria towards the people of God to show them favor. What a great and wondrous blessing to once have the enemy of God's people now protecting his people and providing for them without interfering with their worship. This indeed is a wondrous reason to rejoice in the Lord when we see God work in this manner in turning the hearts of the civil magistrates to protect the church. On top of this, God continues to bless his people. He strengthened their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. And do not let this last phrase escape your notice. Ezra wants us to know without question whose house was being built. Not just the house of any god or gods that were prevalent in the land around them. No, he is very specific. He tells us which God this house was being built for. It was being built for the God of Israel. They acknowledge no other gods. There is only one God, and he is Jehovah God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God. The people of God, refreshed by the Passover, had their hands strengthened in their work of building the house of God. And see here, one of the benefits of the sacrament, a renewed strength towards the building of the kingdom of God and of his church, a renewed joy and hope to work to extend the house of God in the land. The Lord blessed them towards the work and excited them through the means of grace in the sacrament to put themselves to work for his church. Having drank from the fountain of Christ, they were renewed towards the work. They had renewed their covenant through the Passover to belong to Jehovah God, and Jehovah God declared that he was theirs. This all the more gave strength to them towards the work at hand. No longer working with fear or hesitation, no longer working with doubt if this was even worth it. No longer working only to take care of their individual families and to work for their own private property. No, they set their faces towards the task of building up his church. Having them briefly exposited this portion of Ezra. And I say briefly because there is so much gold to mine from these four verses. I want to turn our attention towards the application of these passages as it relates to the Lord's Supper. I want you to look back to verse 19. Notice that they kept the Passover. they perform the duties that the word of God gave them to perform. Brothers and sisters, the goal of my preaching series on the sacraments has been just that, for us to be ready to partake of the Lord's Supper, to know and understand what it means to do so, to know what is involved, who can come, how do we prepare, what do the scriptures teach directly and in principle regarding this feast, so that we can come to the Lord's table and extract the greatest amount of blessing from it as the Lord wants us to. You see, the people of God in this passage did just that. They prepared themselves. They knew that the appointed time of the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread was approaching. They took time to prepare themselves. Are you preparing yourself in anticipation of partaking of the Lord's Supper? Have you begun your time of self-examination? Have you purged yourself of the filthiness of the heathen of the land? Have you judged your own conscience at the bar of God's law? We spoke about this last week. Have you brought your findings of sin before the mercy seat of Christ in asking forgiveness of your transgressions? Have you petitioned the Father through the Son that the Holy Spirit may renew your heart, your mind, and body with the necessary graces and strength to mortify the old man and to put to death your flesh that seeks to find pleasures in the various sins that entice us? Verse 20 is directed here to priests, to Levites, but for the New Testament is directed to ministers, to elders and professors of Christ's church, in other words, to his church officers. This speaks to me. It impacts me as one who will soon be ordained as a minister of the gospel. It tells me that I too must search myself, that I too must seek to purify myself in Christ. And so this preaching series on the sacraments has also worked in my life as well, that I may know what it means to minister the sacraments. I have a double covenant obligation to Christ. As a member in his church, I have taken a covenant vow to be faithful to him and to his church. And soon I will be taking ministerial vows unto the Lord, unto Christ. And I will have a need to be watchful over my own soul as well as I come to the table and administer the sacraments to God's people, as I baptize our children and those adults and young adults and teenagers that make profession of Christ that were never baptized before. So I too need to be aware of what it means to partake of the sacrament. God's ministers, God's church officers, are not off the hook. We see here that they purify themselves and they administer the Passover. And God blessed the people because his ministers were faithful. So I too to be watchful. We are called to this covenant meal to renew our covenant with the Lord. And what does that mean? It means renewing your commitment to walk in the ways of the Lord. To renew our commitment that you and I belong to him and that he is our God. To pledge yourself and myself anew to perform all the duties that God has given to you as a Christian to perform unto him and for his glory, honor, and the building up and beautifying of his church. This pledge was made on your behalf when you were baptized as a baby, if this applies to you. If you were baptized as a teen, as a young adult, or as an adult, then review. Remember the covenant vow that you made at your baptism. As you sit to partake of the supper, renew that covenant vow at the time of your baptism. If you look in the bulletin that was handed out today, you will see our church's testimony that speaks of this as being part of the preparation of the supper to be performed at the moment of the Lord's Supper. Covenant renewal. It is also a horizontal covenant renewal. As communicant members, you all took the covenant of communicant membership. It is then a moment as well as you sit to partake of the bread and to drink of the wine to also renew that covenant of church membership in the RPCNA or in the church that you are a member of, to examine how you have lived up to the covenant you made to God and to the church, and to examine yourself in light of this covenant, repenting what you have fallen short in your covenant obligation as a member, and asking the Lord's help to perform the duties you covenanted to perform. Given that it is a covenantal meal, in due preparation of the Lord's Supper, it is a good idea to then go and review and carefully reread all seven vows of the covenant of communicant membership in our church as part of your preparation in coming to the Lord's Supper. Take those vows, review them, renew them as you prepare for the Lord's Supper. Our Westminster Larger Catechism 174 speaks of covenant renewal in relation to the Lord's Supper. If you look in your bulletin, you will find the Westminster Confession of Faith speaking of this covenanting and the pursuit of further engagements in and to all duties you owe to God and to each other. This is why I emphasize the fellowship of the believers over and over again. Everything I've read in preparation for the sermons on the Lord's Supper always speak of the fellowship of the believers, of how we as a body should be together, getting to know one another, building each other up, performing the duties that God has given to us as Christians to perform to one another. Again and again, the emphasis in the Reformed faith is our obligation to God and to each other. Our relationship is both vertical and horizontal. You see, we are a body and not individuals. And I know it is an American thing to be individuals and to just worry about our own families. However, this is foreign to the Reformed faith and especially to the Word of God. Our text in Ezra even bears this out. The people of God there were together in one mind and together put themselves to the work of the house of the God of Israel. Brethren, let us not neglect this aspect of the Lord's Supper. It is a communion, coming together as a people, as we commune together as God's people with God. It is not individual partaking of the supper. It is done as a body. The Lord's Supper then is to be a source of great joy for us, just as it was for the church as described here in Ezra. We are to rejoice in the Lord. Moreover, grace should be excited and made alive in us before and during and after the partaking of the Lord's Supper. We should excite faith in Christ's sacrifice as the perfect Lamb of God that covers us from the wrath of God and cleanses us from sin. The Lord's Supper is to strengthen our faith in Him. and our love towards him should increase. He has shown us such a great love in sending his only begotten son to die for the sins of his people. How much wickedness have you done in your own life that the Lord has pardoned because you believed in Christ? That should drive you to further love of Christ. As he has said, he was been forgiven much, loves much. So as you examine yourself in preparation of the supper and see the sinfulness of your sins and that Christ pardons your sins, your love towards him should be even more excited, more brought to the surface, more evident in your life. Meditating upon what the Lord has done for you should excite even more your love towards him as you partake of the supper. Exciting the grace of repentance and putting off the filthiness of the heathen of the Lamb should also transpire. As you judge yourselves, as I preached about last week, you are to repent for all the sins you have committed and cast off the filth of habitual sin from your lives, just as the people of God did in our text here in Ezra. How then do we get the sacramental graces to be brought to life in our own lives? Well, first, we should be daily in the Word of God. Daily, we should be reading the Word of God. Daily, we should be in prayer. And if you're not praying daily to God, nor spending time in his word, then are you truly ready? Are you truly ready to renew your covenant obligations at the eating of this covenantal meal, where you are to renew your obligation to do just that? Do not wait till that moment. Even now, even at this moment, renew your obligation to the Lord. Commit yourself once again to daily word, daily reading of the word, and daily prayer as you prepare for the supper. And pray that the Lord will strengthen you to perform this duty. And when the time comes, as you partake of the supper, renew again your commitment to be daily in the word and in prayer. Brothers and sisters, this is in part why I am preaching on the Lord's Supper, to excite you to perform these means of grace, to pray, to read God's word, to meditate on his word. Is your appetite wet now? Is it wet to come running to the table of Christ and to commune with him? Prepare yourselves. Even now, pray to the Lord to strengthen your hands with all joy to perform your basic Christian service, which is reasonable to do unto the Lord. The sacrament is always to be accompanied with the preaching of his word. The word of God preached is indeed superior to the actual supper, as it is what gives strength to the supper. And this is another reason you are to be attentive to the preached word. You see, this is another means, the chief means to excite you, to excite the graces within you, to attend to the preaching of God's word and not find yourself abstaining from it. How can you come to the Lord's table if you abstain yourself from the preached word? You see, the bread and the wine will not impart any blessing to any who live outside of God's preached word, who seek to walk contrary to the word of God. Rather, as we have preached on and seen in the past, when we partake of the elements of the supper unworthily, it becomes a danger to our souls. So even when you are present, be attentive to his preached word. Attend with sober minds and hearts. Come to the Lord's house with joy, rejoicing for the blessing that is to come within his courts. The people of God in our passage were filled with all joy as they had performed all that the Lord had obligated them to do, which resulted in their being blessed by eating the covenant meal and what flowed from that. So as we prepare to come, and if we have done our due diligence as individuals and as a body preparing for the Lord's Supper, we should expect a great blessing of the Lord to be poured out. And you will find much blessing in partaking of the supper if you are attentive to the Lord's ordinances and give yourself over on a daily basis to the means of grace as that he has blessed you to partake in. Brothers and sisters, do not neglect the treasures of Christ, his word, and prayer to him. And if you are a professing Christian, and you have yet to join his church, what stops you? Nowhere in the word of God will you find any who could come to the table or the Passover meal who was not in covenant bond to the church. As a Christian, it truly is your duty to covenant with him, to covenant with his church, and then to be able to sit at the covenant meal with Christ. If you are a Christian and you neglect to join yourself to the body of Christ, that is to endanger yourself before God. You should even put that to the test. Am I a Christian who refuses to join the local body of Christ? That itself should be part of your examination. For if you are not part of the local body of Christ, then you have no seat at the table. You will be denied access to the table. Just as the word of God teaches in Exodus 12 and in 1 Corinthians. You see, Christ gave the sacraments to his church officers to fence it, to protect it, to grant and to bar access to it. So if you profess Christ, join yourself to his body. Do not be a nomad. Be part of his communion. And if you are found outside of Christ, if you think that you will go to eternal life or to heaven without Christ because you live a good life, or because you do good things in your community, because you're charitable, because you think you're a good person, take heed what the word of God says and what we read earlier today in Genesis. Your heart is evil continually. If you are not in Christ, all your good, all your charitable works are evil in his sight. They will not earn you anything but his wrath. And he will not drown you this time. He will burn you forever. That is his wrath. So if you are trusting in yourself or trusting in false gods or trusting in false prophets like Muhammad or Buddha, trusting in false gods of this world, Repent, turn away from your sins, turn to Christ, for only is salvation found in Christ. Christ is the only perfect sacrifice that will cleanse you of your sins. Christ's blood is powerful, the only powerful thing here to cleanse you of your sins. You see, the Father will only acknowledge the blood of Christ covering you as access to eternal life. And if you do not have Christ's blood covering you, you will not have access to eternal life and to be in the presence of God. Turn away from the filthiness, the heathen of this land. Turn to Christ. See the beauty of Christ as he offers himself. He stretched his arms out on the cross. His blood was shed for the remission of sins. See then, today, the Lord's day, the day of resurrection, if you do not find yourself in Jesus Christ, who has risen from the dead, if you do not find yourself in him, then you are a person without hope. Do not wait. Do not hesitate, but come running to Christ. Come and take heaven by storm and find your salvation in Christ. And then covenant yourself to his body that you may receive the blessings of Christ, beginning with the sacrament of baptism and then being granted access to sit at the table of the King as you partake of Christ. Stand with me as we pray. You may stop recording if you can. Our Lord and our God, we pray.